Amen. Thank you, young adults. A beautiful, beautiful special. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Psalms. Psalm chapter 2, please, this morning. Psalm chapter 2. The title of my sermon this morning is Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 12. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our shelter in the time of storm. We bless you, Lord Jesus, this morning as we assemble for worship. I pray that your Holy Spirit would control our thoughts and control our actions, that we would glorify thee. In the name of our Saviour, we do pray. Amen. Kiss the Son. At the end of verse number 12, it reads, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The chapter begins with a question. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? To what end do the godly live? This is the question that the psalmist is asking here in Psalm chapter 2. To what end do the godly live? Then the psalmist goes on to spell out the fact that God will judge ungodliness. Look at verse number 3. Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. Look at verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. To what end do the ungodly live? And then the psalmist affirms the fact in this chapter that God will judge ungodliness. But though God will judge ungodliness, God will provide a Saviour. Verse number 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So God will judge the ungodly, but also, though judgment is declared, a Saviour is promised. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And I'd like for you to connect verse 7 with verse 12, kiss the Son. And if we do obey this command to kiss the Son, then we are giving evidence that we are placing our trust in him. At the end of verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. What does it mean to kiss the Son? Well, for a moment, consider the word kiss, or the verb to kiss. It conveys love, devotion, relationship, a measure of submission. And the context here of chapter 2 of the Psalms is in relation to the principle of all the above, climaxing with the principle of worship. So God pronounces judgment upon the ungodly. And though judgment is declared, a Saviour is promised. And the Bible calls us to, in verse 11, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, verse 12, kiss the Son. At the end of verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. The middle portion there in verse 12 once again affirms the fact that God will judge the ungodly. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? To what end do the ungodly live? Well, God tells us that God will judge ungodliness. For though judgment is declared, a Savior is promised. A wonderful messianic psalm is this psalm, pointing forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And this Savior, we have a responsibility towards Him. We are to serve Him with fear. We are to rejoice in His coming. And we are to worship Him, kiss the Son. And those that worship the Son are giving evidence of trust, dependence upon the Lord. I'd like to take a few moments this morning and just stress the importance of you and I as Bible-believing Christians to kiss the Son, to worship Him, to love Him, to submit our lives to Him. And as we kiss the Son, we give evidence of the fact that we are living in dependence upon Him. Let me ask you this morning, what is the most important relationship in the world for the Bible-believing Christian? Let me answer that question by saying it is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we are born into the family of God. And we become a child of God. In John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible teaches us, "But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." And this relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important relationship that you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, need to cultivate, be involved in. A mark of a child of God is a desire to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, please, for a moment, if you would turn there with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. James, Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, to what end? That ye may grow thereby." A mark of being a child of God is a desire to grow, is a thirst and a hunger for growth. And God illustrates that for us from the life of the newborn babe, desiring the sincere milk. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." God draws a spiritual application. To what end? That we might grow thereby. When my favorite daughter was born, I still remember just being overwhelmed with the miracle of birth. And as I was observing her, I noticed that she began to lick her lips. Like this. I remember saying to the midwife, "Why is she doing that?" You know, I was a little bit overwhelmed about it all. And the midwife gently said to me, well, she's hungry. She wants mum. And that was a mark of well-being. That was a mark of health. That was a mark of life. And the Bible teaches us as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Let me ask you this morning, do you desire to grow as a Bible-believing Christian? May I say to you, if you have no desire, may I gently but nicely challenge you concerning whether you are a child of God? Because the Bible teaches us a newborn will desire milk. A spiritual child of God will desire the milk of the Word. So if there is no desire to grow, then there is no life. The Bible teaches us that we are a new creature in Christ. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that is only the beginning of a life of growth. And we need the milk of the Word, first and foremost, so we might grow. We grow spiritually by spending time with God's people. Within the context of the local church. That's why Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 teaches us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we grow spiritually by spending time together as a New Testament church. We worship the Lord together. We fellowship one with another. We sing God's praises. We worship God with our offerings. We listen and respond to the Word of God. We pray together. We have fellowship one with another. And thereby there should be a measure of growth taking place. But may I submit this morning once again that we grow spiritually more so by spending time with God daily. Reading our Bibles. Thereby God speaks to us. And praying, we speak to God. And this is what we call our devotional time or our quiet time. So we grow spiritually by spending time together when God grants us that opportunity a couple times a week. But also, brethren, we need to be spending time with God daily. We need to kiss the Son. We need to affirm that we love Him. And Psalm chapter 2, verse 12 tells us, those that are kissing the Son, so to speak, are thereby conveying that they are living in dependence upon Him. And when you and I fail to kiss the Son, then we are indirectly showing our independence of God. That's what that verse is teaching us in Psalm 2:12. And that struck me the other week as I read this in my quiet time. I've just begun once again reading the Psalms once again. And I was mindful of the fact that the connection between kiss the Son and blessed are they that put their trust in Him. In other words, as I spend daily time with the Lord, I'm conveying to the Lord, God, I need you. I need you. I'm dependent upon you. And when you and I fail to spend time with God, what are we saying to God? What are we saying to the Lord? It's okay, Lord, I'm okay. I don't need you till Sunday. That's what we're saying. Kiss the Son. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. When you and I spend time daily kissing the Son, so to speak, when we spend time loving the Lord, then we are conveying to the Lord, Lord, I need you today. I need you today. This is foundational to Christian growth and spiritual well-being. And if we honor God, God will honor us. This time daily in the Word and in prayer is absolutely critical to growth. And brethren, if you are truly a born-again child of God, there should be a desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a daily walk with God? Do you spend time daily reading the Word of God? Allowing God to talk to you? And do you spend time daily talking to the Lord? If you do spend such time, you are kissing the Son. And you are conveying to God, God, I need you today. I need your strength. I need your power. I need your wisdom. I need your grace. Kiss the Son. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. And God, the Holy Spirit challenged me with that thought. If I fail to spend time with God daily, I am indirectly saying to God, well, I'm okay today, God. I'm all right. I can do without you today. But as we spend daily kissing the Son, so to speak, showing Him that we love Him, showing Him that we're devoted to Him, showing Him that He is our Lord, He is our King, He is our Master, we're conveying a dependence upon Him. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a daily walk with God? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible teaches us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As we spend time daily kissing the Son, so to speak, brethren, God will provide grace for that day. And I will assure you, your day will run a whole lot smoother when you start your day with the Lord. Have you noticed that? I find that time and time again. When you and I have a quality time with the Lord, the day runs far smoother. God provides grace to combat the challenges of that day. Having a personal walk with God daily involves a routine, a Bible reading routine, following a prayer list, having some direction in our prayer life. It also involves a set time, a set duration. It also involves a place that is undisturbed, a place that you can just focus upon the Lord. And a personal walk with God daily also involves an opportunity to respond as God speaks to you and I through His Word. Brethren, this morning I'd like to encourage you to kiss the Son. Show Him that you love Him by spending daily time in His Word, allowing Him to speak to you, and you communicating with Him through prayer. And as we kiss the Son daily, we are conveying to the Lord, Lord, I need you today. I need your grace. I need your strength. My life is dependent upon you, God. Give me grace this day. When we fail to spend time with the Lord, we are saying indirectly, I'm sure we don't mean to. We are saying indirectly, Lord, I'm okay. She'll be right. I'm okay. I don't need you today. Everything's under control. I've got everything under control. Now what can we expect as we kiss the Son daily and spend time with God daily? You might be saying this morning, well, Pastor, this is so obvious and so basic. May I submit to you, this is the greatest struggle in the Christian life. To walk daily with God. Somebody say amen. And I'm afraid that we get into ruts and isms and we become so self-sufficient and we think we're okay. Brethren, we do not have religion as Bible-believing Christians. We have a relationship. Our relationship is with Jesus Christ. He lives within us. And we are called upon to walk with Him. We walk with God by reading His Word, and God speaks to us, and we walk with God by communicating with Him through prayer. It begins with a quiet time, giving God the first portion of the day. And if we will spend daily time with the Lord, it doesn't mean that that is the only time we talk to the Lord. That's obvious, brethren. Don't use that as an excuse. I've had Christians say to me, well, I talk to God all day long. Well, I'm glad you do. And so you ought to. But let me ask you, do you have a set time daily that is devoted for you to spend time with God, reading your Bible and prayer? That's the start. Of course, you can read your Bible throughout the rest of the day, spend time in prayer the rest of the day. That doesn't negate that privilege or those privileges. But I'm convinced that if we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we not only need the fellowship of God's people, but you and I daily need to spend time with the Lord and not take that for granted. And when you and I kiss the Son daily, we are conveying to the Lord, Lord, I need you today. Blessed are they that trust in Him. Psalm 17, please, for a moment. What can we expect from our quiet times, our time with God daily? Yes, overall, we will grow spiritually. I love this verse here in Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. We behold the glory of the Lord in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are all about Christ. The psalmist went on to say, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Christ's likeness will be evidence in your life and in my life if we spend time with God. We will become like the Lord. No, we will not become a little g God. We will become like Christ. will give evidence of godliness and Christ-likeness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 affirms that very fact, that we are changed from glory to glory into His likeness. The Scriptures are all about Christ, are they not? And as I focus upon Christ in the Scriptures, the blessed Holy Spirit will change me into Christ's likeness from glory to glory, little by little. What can we expect as we kiss the Son daily? We can expect to be made like Christ. The psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And I'm thankful that we read this morning concerning the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Yes, it could be today. And when you and I are called up to meet the Lord in the air, we shall be changed into His likeness once and for all. But until that day, moment by moment, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we spend time daily reading the Bible and spend time daily praying, conveying our dependence upon the Lord, the Spirit of God will do a wonderful work of grace upon your life and my life. He will change you into His likeness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's look there for a moment, please. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. What else can we expect if we spend daily time with the Lord? Well, we can expect Christ's likeness. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And note this last portion. And all these things shall be added unto you. God will provide your needs. When you and I place God first and foremost, when the Lord Jesus is first and foremost in your life and in your day, God will add all these things. God will provide grace for that day. God will provide your needs. God will. God will. We put God first in our lives. God will. Because God can. And when you and I place Him first and foremost, then we're conveying to the Lord, Lord, I need you today, and therefore God will say, rightio, here we go. Here's that grace you are looking for. Here's that provision that you are wanting. Here we go. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will provide our needs. We all have needs, do we not? Well, let's put the Lord first. He can take care of that need, but let's put Him first. Let's kiss the Son. Let's convey our dependence upon Him. Philippians chapter 3, please, verse 10. If we spend time daily with the Lord in our devotional time, we can expect to be transformed into the image of Christ. We can expect for God to provide our needs. And here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, we can also expect to come to a greater knowledge of our God. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, plural, being made conformable unto His death. Let me ask you this morning, do you know God? I like to think that for many of us, we know God personally as our Savior, Yes, there has been a time that you did repent of your sin and you did, by faith, place your trust in Jesus Christ as Saviour. You know Him as Saviour, but let me ask you this morning, do you really know God? Do you really know God? Do you know God in His person? Do you know God in His works? Do we really know God? How do we know God? We know God through the Scriptures. We read the Scriptures and we read the events that are recorded under divine inspiration, and the Scriptures are all about God. What God is like. Do we really know God? If we really know God, it'll change our lives. We won't live like we do. We won't say some of the things we say. We won't go to the places that some of us go to. If we really know God, we'll live like God would have us to live. At the moment, I'm reading through the book of Numbers. And I just read the other day of Moses calling the Israelites a bunch of rebels and striking that rock twice. And once again, I felt sad. Felt sad for Moses. And after feeling a little bit sad, I began to meditate upon God. And God the Spirit just simply said to my spirit, "My son, I'm just. I'm holy. I told my son Moses to speak to the rock, not strike the rock. I'm holy." And God rightfully reminded me of the fact that He is God. He is Lord. And even though you and I might feel for Moses, and maybe if you and I were there, we might appeal to God, but God, look at this man of God. He's been so patient for all this time, and he's tried to lead this group of self-willed, carnal characters. He's only made one mistake, God. Look, come on. Give him a break. Maybe you and I would jump to Moses' defense. But I would say, if we really knew God, we would not. God is God. God is holy. I enjoyed reading once again the story of the prophet Balaam and how God spoke to the prophet Balaam through a donkey. God has a sense of humor. God will get our attention. Brethren, we get to know God when we spend time in the Word of God. Our Bible knowledge will be enhanced. Luke chapter 24, please. An individual said to me this week, "I know the Bible." I was trying to encourage this person concerning the importance of spending time in the Word of God. And the person said to me, "Well, I know the Bible. I know the Bible. I've read it before. I know it." And I prayed to this person a portion of Scriptures. I said, "Do you know this?" "Oh, yeah, I know that. Yes, it comes to mind now. I know the Bible," he said. And I was trying to plead with this so-called Christian that it's important to spend time daily in the Word of God because we need to grow spiritually. So I said to this person, "You know the Bible, do you?" "I know the Bible."
Well, I said to him, well, go ahead, tell me about the book of Galatians. What's that about? He went quiet on me. See here in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, the Bible teaches us that the scriptures are all about Christ, are they not? From the books of Moses to the prophets to the Psalms, it's all about Christ. And we grow in our knowledge of the Word of God by spending time in the Word of God. And as we spend time in the Word of God, we note the expectations of God, and as we obey the Word of God, God will prosper us. Luke 24:44 reads, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses,